I'm Steph Mischuk, and welcome to KillerSites.com. In this podcast, we're going to look at database-driven sites, what they are, and how they're built. When I was beginning web design and web programming years back, I remember all the confusing terms, technologies, and concepts that were floating around that just made it that much more difficult to wrap my head around the whole thing. With that in mind, I thought it might be a good idea to put together this quick little podcast that will help you get a clear understanding of what's out there. This podcast will attempt to demystify database-driven web pages, also called dynamic web pages or websites. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into all the painful mega geek details about how to create dynamic web pages. Instead, I will give a brief overview to help you understand, number one, when you need to build dynamic sites, and two, what tools you have available to build them. Let's start by looking at what are dynamic web pages. To understand dynamic web pages, you have to understand normal, or in other words, static web pages. Typically, non-dynamic web pages do not change every time the page is loaded by the browser, nor do they change if a user clicks on a button. Only change that you'll see in a static web pages is to see them load and unload, like what happens when you click on a hyperlink. In a nutshell, static web pages always look the same, and the content never changes unless you load a new page or you change a page yourself and upload the new version of the page to the web server. Dynamic pages do the opposite. They can change every time they are loaded without you having to make those changes, and they can change their content based on what the user does, like clicking on some text or an image. Let's move on to database-driven web pages. One of the most common types of dynamic web pages is a dynamic database-driven type. This means that you have a web page that grabs information from a database. The web page is actually connected to the database via programming, usually something like PHP or ASP, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So you have a web page that's connected to a database, and it grabs information from this database, and it inserts this information into the web page each time the page is actually loaded. If the information stored in the database changes, the web page connected to the database will also change accordingly and automatically without human intervention. This is commonly seen in online banking sites where you can log in by entering your username and password and check out your bank account balance. Your bank account information is actually stored in a database and has been connected to the web page with programming, thus enabling you to see your banking information. On the flip side, just imagine if the web page holding your banking information had to be built traditionally, that is, by hand, every time your bank account changed. Hopefully, at this point, you're starting to understand why you would want a database-driven website. You want them if the information you're presenting changes very often, just like a banking site. Database-driven sites can be built using several competing technologies. Each of these technologies has their own advantage. Some of those technologies and tools include PHP, which I cover on the website killerphp.com. PHP means, PHP had the original meaning of personal home page. Then you have ASP, which is active server pages. The other option, you have Perl. And finally, ColdFusion. There are many others out there, but these are commonly used for the last 10 years. Let's continue on. Database-driven website programming can also be called or characterized as server-side programming. That's why when I listed some of the technologies out there, like Java server pages, active server pages, the reason you have that name server inserted there a lot of times is because all the magic, all the action that allows the pages to connect to the database is all actually taking place on the server. This is what happens. Each time a dynamic web page is about to be sent to the browser, the server automatically builds a page and sends a standard HTML page to the browser. The server knows how to build a page by following the instructions provided by the programmer. This is different from, say, JavaScript. Think drop-down menus and alert boxes. runs strictly in the web browser. So JavaScript will run in a web browser, whereas the server-side stuff, the database-driven stuff, will actually all be done, all the action is actually done on the server. At this point, some of you may be getting confused. And the confusion lies between server-side programming, database-driven websites, versus client-side programming, like JavaScript. Let's look at client-side programming, the other type of dynamic web page. Client-side, that is to say, in the browser, is what is commonly called DHTML, in other words, dynamic HTML. DHTML is basically taking HTML and JavaScript to make the web page change its own content, as far as the viewer is concerned. Examples of DHTML would include drop-down menus, floating images that would hover over the rest of the page. If you look around, you'll find plenty of this on the web. I just want to point out something. DHTML has been replaced with the term DOM scripting, D-O-M scripting. It's pretty much the same stuff, programming in the browser to make things happen dynamically, but DHTML has a little bit of a bad rap from the late 90s, so more people now refer to it as DOM scripting. Hopefully by now you have a basic understanding of dynamic websites, DHTML, and database-driven websites. I tried to present the information in a non-nerd, non-geek way so as to not to confuse. The downside of this simple approach is that I'm not being 100% precise. Some geeks out there may point out one or two terms that are not dead on, but don't worry, my points are not in any way wrong. Suffice it to say, this is just an introduction to the topic. There's a lot more to be learned about database-driven websites at www.killerphp.com.